Good morning and welcome to this live service. We're happy that many participated in last week's service, and we hope you find this morning's service valuable in beginning your worship on this Easter Sunday. A couple of announcements. The music committee is meeting this Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. And some exciting news in the congregation. Greg and Sarah are expecting their second and third child, so keep them in your prayers. While this may not be an official worship service, we're still called to worship by God through His Word. So I would draw your attention to a call to worship from Psalm 95, which reads, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods." Let us worship God in song now, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ with number 360 in the Trinity Psalter. "Christ the Lord is risen today." And we'll sing all six verses.
Thank you.
We rejoice this morning in the sure knowledge that the tomb is empty, and we will continue that celebration by singing number 367 from the Trinity, "Up from the grave he arose." Let's turn to God's Word this morning, first by looking at Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. With these scripture passages this morning, I hope to convey a message of joy and comfort, so join me in Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed down their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day arise." And they remembered his words. As I was searching for the scripture to read this morning, I kept being drawn to the accounts of the tomb being found empty on the first day of the week. Each of the Gospels tells a very similar story, each with its own added details. But one detail in particular stood out to me in all the accounts of this event. In all the Gospels, the visitors to the tomb were shocked, surprised, and even saddened to find it empty. All the visitors had been told by Christ himself that the tomb would be empty. They knew what was supposed to happen, but in the midst of the trial of losing Jesus, they forgot that this was part of God's plan. How many times, even on a daily basis, is this true for all of us? How often do we try to jump in front of God or just altogether forget that he has been in the lead and in control from before the foundation of the earth? In fact, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has been a central part of this plan from the beginning. So turn with me to John 1, verses 1 through 13. My Sunday school class should know this by heart. But God's Word reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jumping to verse 9, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Through our Savior, we have eternal life. As hard as we may try, we cannot get in the way of this plan, God's plan. Even though we walk through hills and valleys in our lives, and even though we forget and are surprised by God's plan for our lives, He is still in control, and not only in control, but the author and finisher of our faith." And in light of that, turn with me to our last passage in 1 Peter 1, verses 17 through 21. God's Word reads, "And if you call Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. 'It is finished,' was His cry. 'Now in heaven lifted high, hallelujah, what a Savior.' Not only is God in control of all things, whether we remember it or not, and not only did He send Jesus Christ to atone for our sins on the cross, but what incredible comfort we have now in knowing that it is a completed work. There is nothing for us to add to it, or that we can add to it. Our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever." Let's respond to God's Word by seeing a portion of it from Psalm 118. We'll turn to 118b in the Psalter and sing verses 1, 3, 6, and 7. Let's now turn to the Lord in a time of congregational prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we've come before you on this day of celebration and joy with thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for descending from your throne room on high to be born in a stable. We thank you for growing from a child and into a man and living here on earth among us, that you might know the human condition firsthand for yourself. Lord, we thank you this morning that you selflessly went to the cross for the sin of all those who believe in you, that we might stand spotless before the Father in heaven. Lord, we thank you that you arose from the dead and walked again on earth and then ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father. You accomplished what no mere human could, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this body of believers you have placed in this congregation. Please be with us in this time of being apart. We know that you are in control of all things, but we need your Spirit to guide us in patience, strength, and wisdom as we navigate through this time. Help us to seek you first before we seek all the wisdom of men. Let us be a people that turns to you first and leans on you with our entire beings. Lord, we pray that you be with those in the congregation who are healing from various physical issues. We think of Ms. Helen Myers and Ms. Mark Hubers. Grant them your healing. Lord, we ask for your blessings on Renee Welty's mother, who has been tested for the coronavirus and is awaiting the results. Grant peace and comfort to her as well as to Renee and the family. We also pray for Sarah Catherine as she is dealing with this virus. Lord, we pray that you be with Bob's sister, Beth, as she continues to deal with this virus. We pray that you grant peace and strength and your healing. Be with those of us who are isolated because of the situation our country is in, and grant us your presence and lead us all to reach out to one another to bridge those gaps. We pray that you be with us in our search for a new pastor. Lord, we have full faith and confidence that you have ordained a man to fill that role in this place, and we pray that you grant us wisdom and patience as we search for him. Guide our search to help us lean on you for understanding and decision-making at every point. We thank you, Lord, for the provision of a pastor through the summer months. We pray that you be with Scott as he finishes seminary and that you be with him and his family as they move here for the summer. Lord, we thank you for the children and the young people in our congregation. We pray that you would draw them to yourself and lead them to have the desire to profess you as their Savior before the world. We pray especially for the youth group at this time as they try to make decisions about convention and tasks that would glorify you, but Lord, that would also be safe for all those participating. We pray that you be with the leaders of RMS and RYS as they make decisions about these events as well. And Lord, we pray that if it be your will, you would provide the necessary funding for our youth group to attend the events this summer. Lord, we ask you to be with those who are expecting children. We know that children are a blessing from you, and we pray that Sarah and Jillian would have smooth, safe pregnancies, and they might give birth to healthy children. Be with their families as they prepare for the new arrivals. And be with this congregation that we might be your hands and feet in supporting these families and helping them as they guide their children to a knowledge of you. Lord, when we read through the history of your people, we know that out of every plague there comes deliverance, especially from the plague of sin, from which we have eternal deliverance, thanks to our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that this plague that is upon your world now in the form of the coronavirus be an instrument that draws your sheep to you. Soften hearts and open minds as only you can do. We pray that you be with the leaders of our country and state and grant them your wisdom as they deal with the current situation. Help them to make decisions that benefit society in a way that glorifies you. Help us be submissive to our leaders, but also help us to be vigilant to hold those leaders to account. Lord, we pray to you on this joyful day of celebration of the resurrection of our Savior, and we ask that you grant us faith, hope, and love in and for you and for our neighbor. We lay these petitions at your feet, Lord, acknowledging that in all things your will be done. Direct our hearts to your love and to the steadfastness of Christ. For in all things thine is the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us join together in singing once again. Turn to number 27 in the Brown Book, Because He Lives. As we part on this Easter Sunday morning, we encourage you to find a sermon to watch or listen to. There are several links on the website for you to visit. Well, we've added a new one for Reverend Andrew Knott up in New Haven, Vermont. Their church just started a YouTube channel, and his Easter message is already up. So we encourage you to find something to listen to. But no matter who it is you decide to watch or listen to this morning, we pray that you will be blessed by God in continuing to worship Him. Our Lord's parting blessing to us this morning comes from Romans 15, and after the blessing, we'll sing number 38 in the brown, Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks. Congregation of the Lord, receive His blessing from Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen.